I just wanted to introduce one of our most fabulous college students. She's going to share a story this morning as we're continuing our series and concluding our series, How Great Thou Art, that we started last week. You heard from a couple of people last week regarding just the greatness of God to help us counterbalance the weight of life. And how many of you know sometimes life can be weighty? You know, life can sometimes I feel like I show up and people are like, what happened to you? And I'm like, life, you know, why does your face look like that? Dude, life, it can be weighty, but God's greatness is our anchor. And so we want to hear from Mary Eason this morning regarding this question. So give her a hand clap.
Good morning. How are y'all doing? I'm just going to pray before I start talking. God, I just thank you so much for this day. God, I thank you for all the people sitting in this room. Lord, I pray that my words would just be straight from your heart, Lord, that my heart would be aligned with yours, that I would speak only what you would have me speak, God, to be encouraging and just for these people to hear, God. God, I thank you so much for all you're doing in the world, all you've done in my life, God, and all that you're going to do. God, you're so amazing. You're so awesome and great. We just worship you this morning, God. Thank you, Jesus. In your name I pray. Amen. All right, cool. So there are so many things that God is doing in the world right now. There's so many things that I could talk about. You know, when I was asked to share my testimony, I'm like, which one or what part? You know, there's so many things that God's done in my life. But this morning, I'm going to share just a little bit about myself and a little bit about the past year of my life. So some of you know in this room, the past year and a half or so, I've been struggling with my health. Been to multiple doctors. They didn't really know what was wrong with me. Long, long, long story short, eventually I ended up having surgery over the summer to remove or to biopsy what they thought was a tumor on my spinal cord. Turns out when they went in, it wasn't a tumor. It was abnormal tissue. They tested it. It wasn't cancerous. They're not sure what it is, but they're going to just keep monitoring it. So over the summer, I had this huge, massive surgery, and then I was recovering from it throughout the summer. And, God was really, just this past year, God's really been teaching me a lot, and he was telling me, I'm going to teach you about suffering. And I feel like that's so, I like to read books about, like, apologetics, and there's always a chapter in there about the problem of evil and suffering, right? People, non-believers, atheists, even believers, we have this question, why do we suffer? Why is there hurt in the world? Why, you know, even as Christians, we're like, well, I'm a Christian. Why are things hard? Like, why am I suffering? You know, there's just that question. It's like, well, isn't God good? And the answer is yes. Yes, God is good. But as believers, we're not exempt from suffering and pain and heartbreak and all these things in the world. Just, you know, because we know Christ, it doesn't mean that our lives are going to be perfect and we're never going to have hard times. You know, there's tons of verses. I looked up Google last night. I was like, Bible verses about suffering. And the first page that comes up, it's 100 Bible verses about suffering. And so, I mean, the Bible talks about suffering a lot, right? So, I mean, this is something that, maybe we should think about and read about. And, Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me. If you look at the lives of the disciples, it wasn't a piece of cake, right? I mean, all but two of them were martyred. I mean, that's pretty intense. Like, most of us probably won't die the death that Jesus' disciples died. I mean, there's just a lot of pain and suffering and hardship when you look in the Bible. And, you know, as Christians, like, we will suffer. Like, we will have hard times. You know, I'm just looking out into this room, like, I'm sure all of y'all have stories. You know, it's not just me up here. I'm sure all of y'all have stories about hard times that you've been through and, you know, things that you've gone through in your life, like, from childhood up to now. And, I wanted to read a couple Bible verses about suffering from that 100 Bible verse page. I'll just read three of them to encourage you this morning. Romans 8 says, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed for us. James 1 says, count it all joy, my brothers, when you meet trials of various kinds, for you know that the testing of your faith produces steadfastness, and let steadfastness have its full effect, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. And lastly, 1 Peter 5 says, and after you have suffered for a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, confirm, strengthen, and establish you. So I just want to talk about that a little bit. I mean, for me, like, my whole life, I had an issue with crying until, like, the past couple years. I would never cry. Like, I would go to funerals, and I would just be confused, and I didn't really know what to do. And, you know, I had kind of a rough childhood, and I think that was my defense mechanism. I was like, well, if I don't cry, then that means nothing's wrong, and I'm okay, and I'm strong, and everything's good. And I was like, if I cry, that shows that I'm weak. But the truth is, I am weak. You know, we are weak. We're so weak. We're in such a great need for God. You know, and he says, in your weakness, that's when my strength is made perfect. Okay, so this past year, God has showed me how weak I am and the depths and the depths and the depths of my weakness. And there's a difference between, you know, there's suffering and then there's like complete despair. You know, in our suffering, we have hope. Jesus is our hope. You know, he's with us through it all. You know, despair is like, oh, you have no hope. There's nothing to look forward to. You're just, oh, your life is over. And that's just not true. Like, we will face hard times, but the good thing is that Jesus is there with us through it all. And a lot of times, you know, we pray. I'm definitely guilty of it. Anytime something hard comes up, we're like, God, take it away. God, like, please, like, I'm sick. Take it away. Take away my headache. God, I'm like struggling with finances, providing like all these things. And it's great to ask God for things, but sometimes God wants to walk with you through those hard times and just show you how faithful he is and how much he cares for you. No matter if you're living in prosperity or you're living in loss, you know, he's there with you. I mean, look at the world. Like, we're the way our lifestyle is a minority. Not everybody has this. Not everybody has an air-conditioned building. I mean, all these things that we have, like, God is still great. He's still with those people. He still loves them, no matter what. And so, you know, through my surgery and through my recovery, it was really hard. It was probably one of the hardest times of my life. I mean, I was, you know, a lot of these people over here know a lot more about it. I'm not going to tell my whole story about my health, but I mean, just a little bit of it. I mean, I was sick, really, really sick in recovery from my surgery. I was on medicine that I was never on before. I was not in my right state of mind. My emotions were crazy. I was crying all the time. I was upset and sad and really physically sick. Like, I lost like 5 to 7 pounds, which is a lot for me. And I was nauseous every day. The smell of food would make me well up with tears. Like, my sister was force feeding me rice. I mean, it was a really tough time. Like, I couldn't walk. My left leg was numb from hip to toe. I had to have people help me with self-care, with everything. I mean, it was just really, really intense. And in that time, like, it was really hard, right? But it was also like one of the most precious times of my life of intimacy with the Lord. I mean, I'm like a really busy go-get-em kind of person. I was before my surgery. I mean, I was involved in just about everything I could be involved in, all kinds of different ministry, high school, college, girls ministry, children's ministry, like, you know, all these things. Like, I work a job, I go to school, I do everything, lead a Bible study at my house. Like, I was like on the go all the time, and God just knocked me out. I mean, he was like, you are going to be in bed for 2 months. And I'm like, all right. And that was one of the most intimate times in my whole life with the Lord. I mean, I was just going to the Word and going before Jesus, going to him for my strength. And he really showed me like just the depths of my weakness, even showing it through my physical weakness. Like, okay, I can't walk. Okay, I can't eat. Like, wow, Jesus, like, I need you so much. Like, in my own strength, like, I can do absolutely nothing, nothing in my own strength apart from him. Like, I can't even get up out of my bed. You know, it's hard. Like, every day was difficult. Like, but he was my hope. He was my everything. And, you know, it was just one of the most amazing times of my life. And I had such just a revelation of, like, my weakness and how much I needed God, how much I needed people. I mean, the people who were around me were extraordinary, the people who took care of me and helped me. I mean, I could start naming them off, but, I mean, God just showed me his love directly through him and then also through other people who were serving me, who were just right there beside me, taking care of me, doing things for me all the time with me from morning until night and watching after me. Even I don't remember half of it. Really, I don't. Like, I couldn't even begin to start thanking people for everything that they did for me because a lot of it I don't even remember. And it was just people just laying their lives down for me and just, you know, serving me like Jesus serves. And that was just amazing. And I got a revelation of God's, like, his love and his sovereignty over my life through that time. And it was just so amazing. And lastly, I just want to share this quote from a John Piper little video that me and my roommate watched last night. And he was talking about the prosperity gospel and all these things and, you know, about how it's just not true that you know, if we tell people like, come follow Jesus, and then he'll put, you know, he'll give you all these things, and you'll never need, you know, all these things, like, he'll put a robe on your back and a ring on your finger and give you a BMW and you'll never have any trouble ever again, you know, and it's just not true. And, you know, he was talking about that. And he was talking about idolatry and elevating gifts above the giver. And, you know, over the summer I was reading a lot, like, just, I tried to read through the book of Job. Honestly, I got to Job 1 and I was just like, I'm done. Like, Job is just, I was just looking because I was like, you know, kind of down in my life. I was like, why can't I walk? And then Job, it's like, he took away his family. Like, Job had everything, like his animals. I was like, oh my gosh, like his house, like everything was gone. And I was just like, God, like, you have so much grace over me right now. Yes, I'm sick, but I'm like in the most awesome recovery environment ever, you know, like he is still like providing for me and taking care of me so much. Like, you know, I don't even know, like, I'm like, I just have a little tiny bit of suffering. I don't even really understand like the depths of what, you know, some other people have been through. But I want to read y'all this, and it uses a really good example. This really, really touched me last night. He says, I'll tell you what makes Jesus look beautiful. It's when you smash your car and your little girl goes flying through the windshield and lands dead on the street. And you say, through the deepest possible pain, God is enough. God is enough. He is good. He will take care of us. He will satisfy us. He will get us through this. He is our treasure. Whom have I in heaven but you? And on earth there is nothing I desire besides you. My flesh and my heart and my little girl may fail, but you are the strength of my heart and my portion forever. And that makes God look glorious. And he goes on to say, God is most glorified in you when you are most satisfied in him in the midst of loss. So I know not everyone can relate to that. I mean, I don't have a little girl, but, you know, for you, your little girl might be something else in your life that you've lost. You know, it could be anything. And in the midst of that, I just encourage you to say, to stand up to whatever you're facing and say, God is good. He is enough. He is enough. He is more than enough. Through the suffering, through the pain, health issues, heartbreak, loss, tears, through it all. I mean, fill in the blank, whatever you're going through. Through it all, God is enough. He's more than enough. He's greater. He's greater than anything you're going through. And he loves you and he cares for you. And he's enough. Thank you. That's all I have.
Thank you, Mary. Wow, Mary, that was awesome. Are we on? There we go. Thank you so much for that. I couldn't help but think about Job. You know, his wife said, curse God and die when she said that. I hope your wife hasn't told you that, gentlemen. Mine hasn't, thank God. It's usually the other way around. I'm usually like, well, y'all just, you know, anyway, move on. Wow, how great thou art. Part two, counterbalancing the weight of life with the greatness of God. Wow. You know, when Mary got up and started talking about that, and we start talking about counterbalancing the weight of life, you know the thing that comes to me, a question comes to me. And this question is, how does God sustain us? How does God keep us during challenging times? It beckons that question. How does he do it? What practically can we rely upon as human beings that we can do that would help God help us sustain ourselves? It takes God helping us sustain us during that time. You know, life has got challenges. As Mary said, she's a young lady. She had some challenges. There's going to be challenges in life. There's going to be possibly trials and tribulations. The Bible says there is. And it's not just for those of us who believe in God or are Christians. It's for everybody. Everybody's got a trial. Everybody's got something they're going to go through. Until you die and leave this earth, there's going to be some challenge, something you're going to face. Look, you can go off into a monastery on the highest hill and try to escape from reality to not have any trials and tribulations. And there's people who've done that. And I've actually, when I was taking a church history class in seminary, I read some of the writings of some of these amazing people who were just so dedicated to God. And you know they still couldn't escape themselves. They still had to deal with temptations of the mind, even though they had no temptations around them. But everything they'd ever done in the past, every thought. So no matter where you go, you're still there.
Right.
Some people, to deal with the pressure of life, some people turn to drugs and alcohol. Because you got to have a relief, a release from that. Some do to promiscuity and all kind of pornography and all kind of different things, trying to get some relief from the pressures of life. Then there's other ways you can do that, a more positive exercise, and thank God for that, and hobbies. And hobbies can be good, they can be bad, depending on if it affects your family negatively or not. Anyway, moving right along with that, gentlemen, I won't even go any further on that one. But anyway, you know, unless you can get into a perpetual vacation somewhere where you find a happy spot all the time, then again, you're going to get a phone call. Something's going somewhere. Something's going to be happening somewhere. And even with the positive responses to stress and the positive responses, it's going to be at the end of the day, as Pastor Mike likes to say, there's going to be an emptiness to it. There's still going to be something deep down that hasn't been met within you, even if you respond to the positively to the stress and the power of that, the power that comes upon you, the weight of those things. So even if you're not a Christian and you do all these things, there's still going to be an emptiness there apart from God.
Right.
So if you would, turn with me in your Bible to Hebrews chapter 6. That's going to be our text for today. You can read it up on the screen. We'll have it up there for you. Verse 13, chapter 6. I'm going to read through this, and it's actually the last couple of verses that have my point involved in it, but I wanted to at least give you a little context. We're going to read it from there. For when God made the promise to Abraham, since he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, I will surely bless you, and I will surely multiply you. And so, having patiently waited, he obtained the promise. For God swore by one great, for men, excuse me, not God, for men swore by one greater than themselves, and with them an oath given as a confirmation, is an end of every dispute. In the same way, God, desiring even more to show the heirs of promise the unchangeableness of his purpose, interposed with an oath, verse 13, 18, so that by two unchangeable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we, very important here, we who have taken refuge would have strong encouragement to take hold of the hope set before us. For this hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, one which enters within the veil. Father, in the name of Jesus, as we continue on this morning, as we talk about how great thou art, help us to open our eyes to hear, open our eyes to see, our ears to hear what the Spirit is saying. In Jesus' name, amen. Mary mentioned it already. She talked about hope. You know, when you're trying to figure out how to sustain your life under the pressure, the counterbalance, the pressures of life, the one thing you've got to have, I think the foundation of that is hope. You got to have hope in the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hope in Jesus that He is who He says He is. Hope that He is going to be there when He says He's going to be there. The definition of hope, of course, you got to go to Webster's 1828 by definition of that. Because it has God, he puts God into the definition. Hope is a desire of some good, accompanied with at least a slight expectation of attaining it, or a belief that it is obtainable. It is confidence in a future event, the highest degree of well-founded expectation of good as a hope founded on God's gracious promises. I have some other verses I want to read to you. I want to just go down these verses and just read them to you. 1 Timothy chapter 4, for it is for this we labor and strive, because we have fixed our hope on the living God, who is the Savior of all men, especially of believers. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Let us hold fast the confession of our what? Hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. 1 Peter 1, 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to this great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. And then finally, I mean, there's so many more verses I could read. Romans 15. For now may the God of hope fill you all with joy and peace and believing, so that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. I have 3 points for you today. The first one is hope. We got to have hope. We got to have our mind focused. If you're under the pressure of life, you got to have your mind focused on hope. That you can trust in God. Look into what He has done. There's hope for a better tomorrow. There's a hope not only here on this earth. There is hope, but there's also the hope of eternal life for those of us who know Jesus. Hey, that's nothing to celebrate. And when I die, I'm not going to be going to punishment in hell. I'm going to have the hope of heaven, the hope of no pain, no suffering. But here on this side of heaven, there's a hope that God is going to be the God. He's going to be a good God to us, that He's going to meet our needs. He's going to provide for us. He's going to heal us. He's going to set us free. So you have to have this hope when you're under the pressure of life. I believe it takes 3 things. The first one is you got to start out with hope. You got to get your mind right in the midst of the battle. I have hope for the future. You know, when there's no hope for the future, there's no point. It's just give up. Let's just give up. And what I have learned, if you put your hope in politics, it's going to fall apart. If you put your hope in America, you're going to be disappointed. If you put your hope, as much as I love America, as much as I respect our government leaders, if you put your hope in them, you're going to be disappointed. If you put your hope in the business community, you're going to be at some point disappointed. There's always going to be something internally missing inside of you that you cannot get from all the external things, but you can get it from Jesus. You can get it from Him. Right. So in the midst of having hope, we got to get our mind thinking right. We got to start thinking that way. Second, number two in this, we got to have the strengthening of the Word of God in our lives. When I get up here and say, read your Bible, I'm not saying that just because you got nothing else better to do. Because when you read this Word, I'm going to read some passages to you. I want you to hear what the Bible is saying happens when you read the Word of God. When you read it, when you meditate upon it. It says here, let me just go ahead, Matthew 4, 4. It says, but He answered and said, Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on the every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. How are you going to counterbalance the weight of life? By the Word of God, intrinsic within you. Right. Let me read another passage here. It even refers to Jesus in John 1, 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. If they're going to call Jesus the Word, there's got to be some power here to help sustain us in the middle of all this. Are y'all listening to me this morning? Are we? Are we all right there? Okay. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Y'all, I'm just passionate about the Word. So if I'm getting too excited, just forgive me. And enjoy. You know, thank you, Irene. I'll enjoy myself up here this morning. Colossians 3, 16. Let the Word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching, and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your heart. And there's another verse I love so much, Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12. For the Word of God is living and active, and sharper than any two-edged sword, and piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, above joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and the intentions of the heart. Though there's power in this Word. When you pick up this Bible and you start reading it, let me tell you something, you're going to change. If you don't want to change, don't pick up the Bible. If you don't want God to touch you, don't pick up the Bible. Right. If you want God to minister to you, pick up this Word. Get in this Word. Read the Bible. Get some Word in you. Get you a verse that you need at the time. You know, if you're stressed out, you got to have something inside of you that's going to hold up under the pressure. And boy, there's nothing like the strength of the Word here. When it says it will pierce the soul, it will pierce deep as the soul and the spirit. There's nothing that's going to penetrate you like this. Man, as much as I love Cold Stone, it's not going to penetrate me like this Word is going to penetrate me. As much as I love my sweet tea, it's not going to penetrate me like this Word penetrates me. Now, I'm not saying it doesn't help for the moment. Now, yes, it helps for the moment, but life, the pressure, it doesn't last for a couple of seconds. When the sugar rush is over, you're like, well, I'm right back the way I was before I did it, you know. But the Word inside of you. And it's something you need regularly to build you up and to strengthen you, to give you some oomph inside of you, strengthening. The Word strengthens us. When it goes down into your heart. Now, I'm not talking about just bright. I mean, I've met some people who could quote Scripture, but they were so ornery, prejudiced, hateful, but they could quote the Bible to you. It's because they had it right here. But if it goes from here down in your heart, it's going to change you, and it's going to make you more like Jesus, not less like Jesus. I am amazed at some people who could quote the Bible, but they're the most hateful people. I don't care if you can quote the Bible or not. Show me the Bible. Don't just quote it to me, baby. And then Joshua 1:8 says, "The book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, so that you be careful to do according to all that is written in it." Not, you hear that? All? "For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have success." I respect other people's opinions, but I believe the Bible is still the Bible. It just is that whatever it says is sin today. Yesterday is sin today. It's going to be sin tomorrow, no matter what society says. This is the Word of God, where we're to live by this Word. Right. And live and show the love that goes through that. And as we get the Word inside of us, guess what the third thing that we need to help us sustain us? It's the power of the Holy Spirit. In John chapter 14, it says, "I will ask the Father." This is Jesus talking before he ascended to the, before he was crucified and ascended to heaven. He says, "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him." And get this right here. "But you know him because he abides with you," and get this, "and will be in you." So when you get saved and you're born again, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you. And then he's called, and then in verse John 14, 26, it says, "But the helper," in the Greek is the parakletos, "the Holy Spirit," he's your helper, "whom the Father will send in you my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you." So when you get saved, the Holy Spirit comes to live inside of you. But that's not the end of the story. Man, Acts chapter 1:8 says, "And you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witness both in Jerusalem and in Judea and even to the remotest part of the earth." If you look through the book of Acts, we see the power of the Holy Spirit strengthening the body of Christ, doing miracles, filling them afresh, filling them up, an outpouring of this power and this strength. And they were, man, it rocked jail cells, and Peter walked out. And, you know, Paul's getting bit by a serpent and the thing is falling off of him. And there's all these, you got to read the book of Acts. If you haven't read the book of Acts, go read the book of Acts, because you'll see the power of the Spirit coming upon his people and giving them strength and sustaining them in that. So when you are going through the stresses of life, the counterbalancing this, you need the Word and you need the Spirit. First off, undergirding that, you need hope. Getting your mind right by hope. All right, I have a hope in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. I have a hope because of what he did. I have a hope for better things to come in this life and in the life to come. There's a hope that we have in Jesus. Once you get your mind established with hope, then you got to get the Word in you to strengthen you. Then you got to get the Spirit of God to commune with the Holy Spirit and let him say, "Come fill me afresh." And it takes every day. You got to go to God and say, "Fill me afresh with your Holy Spirit." When I get in the Word, when I read the Bible, man, I sense the presence of God, sort of the Holy Spirit sort of just intermingling with the Word, and I just sense him all. Am I the only one? But I understand when they come working together and fill me with the Spirit and fill me with the Word. When you have the Holy Spirit and the Word of God meshing together, going deep into your very heart and into your spirit, I believe you can by the grace of God walk and under the power and sustaining power of his Holy Spirit. That's how God sustains us, is through hope, through the power of the Holy Spirit and through the power of this Word in you. Here's an example. Look at this picture on the stage, up here on the screen. I want to show you this. Anybody know what that is? It's a pogo stick. You put your feet on that thing and it'll jump up and it'll take you, propel you. I was watching TV the other day and I saw this, and I can't remember if it was on, you know, that Extreme Machines or if it was on Superhuman Human or some one of those reality kind of things. And what they have redesigned this, where you can actually pump up air into that. And not a spring like it used to be. And you pump air into that, and when you get the weight on there, it can take a 250-pound man, and he can come down on that, and it compresses that air and propels it up through compressed air. When the pressure comes on, the air compresses and propels them up. Devon, come here. I asked him about this beforehand, so I didn't put him on the spot. He knows. All right. Come here, Devon. I had to get somebody that was cut a little bit to come up and help me on this. So now, if Devon puts his arm out and I just do this, if it falls down, there's no resistance there, right? But if he puts his arm out here and he resists me, I can't push it down. I mean, he's got a pretty good tricep there. I mean, if he push it, I can't push it down. Is that a bicep tricep? Anyway, moving on. He resists me where I can't do it. Now come stand off the stage. Stand right here. Yeah, stand off the stage. Now, if I get right here and I push down on him, he has a skeleton and he has a muscle mass, which is bigger than mine, by the way. And when I push down on him, nothing happens. Now, if he was a jellyfish, he'd fall on the floor because there's nothing in him. The point I'm trying to make through that is that skeleton and that muscle mass, that's the word and the spirit in us. That compressed air and that pogo stick, that's the word and the spirit in us. So that when the pressure comes, when I pushed down on Devon, he wouldn't move. He was unmovable. I was pushing. Even if you get pushed and you feel like you're going down, if you have the word to call on, if you have the Spirit of God to call on, you can go, in the name of Jesus, I'm going to make it through this somehow, some way. I've got, because you've got something inside of you. But if you don't have it inside of you, you're going to collapse under the pressure. Or you're going to turn to drugs. You're going to turn to alcohol. You're going to turn to anything to relieve that. My point is, the relief comes from the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. The pressure comes. The pressure comes. God is the one who sustains you in that thing. I'm encouraged by that myself this morning. I tell you, I should. You know, Hebrew talks about it. Betty even mentioned this during the offering. The anchor of our soul. Hope being the anchor of our soul. Now, as the band comes up, I want to read a quote. We're gonna play again, as we did last week, How Great Thou Art. As they're coming up, I want to read something to you. This was from Billy Graham, September 14th, 2001, when he spoke at the National Cathedral after this past week, it was September 11th, when the Islamic terrorists came in and attacked our country. And he spoke there, and he said something as he was speaking, and I read through his speech that really, I think, applies to what we're talking about today. And I just took an excerpt out of that, and I just want to just read this to you. And he says, here in this majestic national cathedral, we see all around us the symbol of the cross. For the Christian, the cross tells us that God understands our sin and our suffering. For he took them upon himself in the person of Jesus Christ. From the cross, God declares, I love you. I know the heartaches and the sorrows and the pain that you feel, but I love you. The story does not end with the cross, for Easter points us beyond the tragedy of the cross to the empty tomb. And here's important. It tells us that there is hope for eternal life. For Christ has conquered evil and death and hell, yet there is hope. I become an old man now, And I've preached all over the world. And the older I get, the more I cling to that hope that I started with many years ago.